from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, and Jude; Thomas, the son of Alphaeus; Simon, who was called the Zealot; Judas, the son of James; and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, St. Paul tells us that we're not strangers or sojourners wandering without roots, but we're fellow citizens with the holy ones, an incredible statement for a time in which Roman citizenship meant everything. And he's saying, you have citizenship with the saints. You're members of God's household. You've been adopted into his family, and you've been built on the foundation of the apostles, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. To be built on the foundation of the apostles, we are here because of the work of St. Simon and Jude, whom we celebrate today. And we can focus how we're built on their lives, so that we can become more secure on Jesus the capstone through our participation and recapitulation in their relationship with that same capstone. We can focus on five ways. First, they were called, they were given a vocation precisely through the prayer of the Lord. It tells us in today's gospel that Jesus went up the mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. And in the morning, he called them each by name. Jesus was constantly praying for his chosen ones. We see it during the Last Supper, when he prayed for them that they might be one, that they might be consecrated in the truth. We see it when he prayed for Simon Peter individually. I have prayed for you, O Peter, that your faith may not fail, but after you have converted, strengthen your brothers. Christ is always praying. And in a similar way, after prayer, he has summoned each one of us to be his. It's an extraordinary reality and a great consolation that Jesus continues to pray for us like he prayed for them. Our vocation has its roots in that capstone's prayer. Second thing that we learn from them about our own Christian life is that Jesus, after having prayed, called them from among his disciples. The precondition to be an apostle is to be a disciple, to be a follower of the Lord. They themselves had already been following Jesus for some time. To be a disciple means to be an excellent student, somebody who hangs on the words of the Master, somebody who follows where the Master leads, somebody who's not trying to be in charge, to be in control, to set the direction, but somebody who recognizes that another is greater and puts himself or herself in that other one's service. It's interesting that when the Lord chooses disciples, he doesn't choose necessarily the grades. St. Paul would write in his letter to the Corinthians that he chooses the weak, the shame, the strong, the foolish to shame the wise, those who are nobodies, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who think that they're something. Jesus didn't raid the rabbinical schools. He went to the seashores and the tax collecting tables. He found people under fig trees. Jesus wants us to imitate Simon and Jude as his faithful followers, so that we can be more strongly built up on their foundation. Third thing we see, after they had been following him, he called them to be his apostles, precisely those whom he would send out. And their message, as we prayed in the psalm, literally went throughout the whole world. It's an incredible reality when we think about it. 12 people with few qualifications changed the history of the world. I'm looking at 12 people out there. Imagine what could happen in New York. You're way more prepared than they were. Fourth, is they were martyrs. One of the reasons why they were able to preach so effectively was because they were willing to die for Jesus. They were fearless for that reason. They had been emboldened, not just by the Holy Spirit who came down on them on Pentecost, but they were emboldened by the fact that they had witnessed Jesus' crucifixion and then he rose from the dead. If even a brutal public execution couldn't keep Jesus down, why would they be afraid of the same Sanhedrin? Why would they be afraid of Roman emperors? Why would they be afraid even of torture? They would rise again. And so they were able to give all because they knew they wouldn't lose no matter how others tried to intimidate them. Their martyrdom makes us better witnesses. And last, they are intercessors. Simon and Jude are the last in the Olympus of the apostles, besides the traitor Judas Iscariot, and we can figure out why he would have been last. Simon and Jude are afterward. They're almost a little bit of an afterthought in life. Their tomb is the least conspicuous apostolic tomb that exists. Most people, when they visit St. Peter's Basilica, never even know they're there. I had the opportunity to be in St. Peter's many times on the feast of Saints Simon and Jude. And even on that day, they don't know where his tomb is. They're hidden, in a sense, underneath the altar of St. Joseph, where the Blessed Sacrament is on the left transept of the basilica. They were placed there when their bodies were rescued after the Muslims, the Turks in particular, were rampaging Christian tombs throughout Turkey and the Middle East. We celebrate them on this day precisely because they were interred on this day together. It's not that they necessarily died on this day or died together. But there they are, hidden, almost as the last. But the reason why their feast is taken so seriously is because out of all the apostles, the one who has earned the reputation of being the greatest intercessor is Jude Thaddeus, Jude the magnanimous one, not called the Iscariot. That God, in a sense, wanted the name Jude to be used in prayer and not just used as an epithet for the one who was better never to have been born. So he became the patron, Jude Thaddeus, of hopeless causes, which so many miracles have been granted over the course of time. Most Christians don't know his letter very well or the letter attributed to him. Most don't know much about his life and how he had died in Syria in witness to the faith. But they do know that when they've got a hopeless cause, how to turn to him. In each of these five ways, we're called to be built up today. Built up in our confidence that Jesus is praying for us. built up in our capacity to follow him with all our weakness, built in our capacity to bring him and proclaim him with our words and with the witness of our life. This capacity to die for him who died first out of love for us. And then someone who prays for others, to whom everybody can approach because they know that we will pray with them and for them, to the one whom we know will answer prayers. Simon and Jude were present at that first Mass when Jesus prayed for them and for all who would hear the gospel through them. They were the ones who heard him say, "Do this in memory of me," and they obeyed. And they are now surrounding him at the celestial altar in which the heavenly Jerusalem is built on 12 pillars, built on each of these apostles. May Simon and Jude continue to pray for us that we might imitate their relationship with Jesus here on earth and share their joy forever with Jesus in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.